From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Exodus chapter 2 this morning, we'll begin reading in verse 10. And the child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. I want to preach a few messages. I don't know how many on the subject of getting through what you're going through. As a pastor, I'm always concerned as we watch people deal with problems of life. Sometimes it's a sickness. Sometimes it's a permanent illness. Sometimes that's financial trouble, marital problem, whatever the case may be. My hope is that we get in the Word of God, and with the help of God, we get through whatever we're going through. And this morning, I want to talk about Moses dealing with his youth and really preach to those that are under 40 this morning. It'll be basically primarily applying to them because they're dealing with youth and trying to get through youth. And I know that sounds easy and it sounds normal, but all of us remember back to our youth and some of the things we did in our youth, some of the mistakes that we made in our youth. Some of us remember the pitfalls and the landmines and the problems and the temptations and the youthful ignorance. And as we look at the life of Moses, I'm thankful that he had parents that were there for him and walked through these things with him. The primary thing, I really believe, that helped him in these moments to keep his mind on track was parents that taught him that God had a purpose for him. And let me just ask you, as we go into this message this morning, do you really believe that God has a purpose for your life? Because if you don't, young people, you will go off the cliff at some point. If you don't understand, God has invested a lot in you, and how few people on this planet have grown up in a Christian home, grown up in a Christian environment, grown up with a church, a solid Bible preaching, Bible teaching church, and with the help and support of youth pastors and assistant pastors and conferences and visiting preachers. You have been a major investment for God. He's given you His Word. You're indwelt by His Holy Spirit. You're surrounded by His people. You're living in a generation where everything is in your favor. And as parents, we've got to continually stress. And here's what his mom and dad did. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. When the king, Pharaoh, was commanding the parents to slay their babies, and if they didn't, he would slay them. Look what his parents, Amram and Jochebed, did. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They said, we're not afraid of the day and age we're living in. We're not afraid of the king. We're not afraid of the politics. And as a child of God, you should not be overly concerned by what is taking place around you. Nations have been in turmoil from the beginning of time. But God can overcome any king, any commandment, any situation. And they looked at that child and said, there's no way we'll allow this baby to be slain because God has a special purpose And parents, if this is not reiterated, and if they don't hear this on a daily basis, that God has a purpose for your life.
Absolutely.
You can easily ruin that purpose.
Yes.
Whether that's through sin, an addiction, marrying wrong, seeking your own will. As parents, we've got to corral them by saying, don't ever forget that God has a purpose for your life. And I imagine that on a daily basis, Jochebed was saying, Moses, you have been raised up for this time. You have been, God's hand is upon you, and you were delivered. And we can see the sovereignty of God in every step of this story. But for some reason in 2016, we read the Bible and we read about these people and these situations and kind of think that's unique to a generation or unique to a different person, or that's only God's calling on future missionaries or pastors. And I'm convinced every single young person in this building this morning, God has a purpose for their life. And if our seniors and our juniors and our sophomores and our freshmen don't understand that, they'll go straight into the world doing their own will. And really what this message is about this morning, when we say getting through what you're going through, in this case, it's your youth, this first span of Moses' life lasted 40 years. Now, because we could look at the lifespan as 70 years in this generation, Moses lived to be 120, we don't consider 40 years to be youth. But this morning, I want to specifically designate the crowd that I'm preaching to anyone that's 40 and under, because if this philosophy is not deeply ingrained in our hearts and minds, at some point, God's will is going to be put on the back burner and God's purpose, because money becomes the all-encompassing goal. And in this generation, if you don't make money, if you don't have money, you're a nobody. You're a waste of talent. You're a waste of time. Even in the Christian realm, it's surprising how we place so much emphasis on money and so much importance, and we instill it deep in the hearts of our youth. You've got to make money, and you need to make a lot of money, and you've got to reach your income earning potential. Let me just say this right off the bat. If you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never reach your income earning potential. God's going to put a cap on that. Number one, because he knows what money will do to us. And number two, this world wants you to become a slave. 40 hours is not enough. 50 hours is not enough. 60 hours. This world wants to consume every free moment of your day, so you're not focused on your family or your marriage or the lost and dying soul, but you're focused totally on the bottom line and how much you have in your retirement account and your 401k and how big your house is, what neighborhood you own that house in. And we're not talking about a lost world. We're talking about a saved church that has adopted the same philosophy as the world. You know how we measure a man? By the size of his bank account, his income, his position, his power, his influence, his prestige. And this is something that you don't normally have to fight just at 18, 19, or 20. This is something you're fighting in your 30s. As you're starting to get situated in a company, you're starting to realize your potential, and job offers are coming in. And here's the problem with men, especially men with a little bit of self-motivation. There's money out there on the table. Did you know that serving the Lord Jesus Christ not may mean, but will definitely mean you leaving money on the table? How many of you men over 30 have come to that realization? You've turned down a job offer, an investment opportunity, whether that was placing more money in missions or giving to a project or simply telling your boss, I can't accept that position because I know what it'll do to my family. I know it'll do to my free time. I know it'll do to my mind, and it will begin to consume me. But it's tough. The first time you do it, the first time you leave money on the table, I guarantee you back away, and for days and possibly weeks, consider and reconsider. Some will doubt themselves and say, what did I just do? And then you add the wife to the equation that's saying, what did you just do? I don't need to spend Thursday night with you. you've got a marriage that'll last through this. I prefer the additional money and the nicer vacation. You know, it's amazing how we look at temptations of life, and we just think that Satan's going to come a certain way, but life throws us a curveball, and usually the way that I'm seeing Christians deviate from the will of God and the purpose of God for their life is trading the trade, that talent that God has given them. As soon as they situate themselves in life and they find out where their abilities are, where their strengths are, and they get it through a door, and doors begin to open, and opportunity is laid before them, and they realize, not only can I make money, but I can make more money, and I can quickly ascend this ladder and look at the opportunities, hold on for a second, that God is giving to me. Now hold on for a second, look at the opportunities that God was given to Moses. Moses could have said, look at me, I'm born in a palace, higher education, I have it all. He had military training. Now we'll go to Acts 7 in just a minute, but the Bible calls a man that was mighty in word and deed. He's very eloquent. He was the grandson of the Pharaoh. He would be in line for the throne. But even if he didn't choose the throne, there were so many other opportunities with prestige and power, wealth, the pleasures and treasures of Egypt were right there at his fingertips, and choices had to be made. This is the problem of youth, all the choices that have to be made. And what's going to keep you making the right choice is saying, I have a purpose. God has a purpose on my life. It was no accident that I was born to this family and that I was born in this home and that I was saved at a young age and that God allowed me to go to a Christian school. It's not an accident that I've listened to those preachers and that God's gotten my attention and he's guided me through life and that he's protected me from the sins and the wickedness that so many other young people at an early age were introduced to, and I've avoided that. God does it because he has a purpose. But here's Moses, now that he's growing up, number one, he has to first find his identity. And this is the number one problem in youth, even in our churches. Look what it says in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God. He say, am I an Egyptian or am I an Israelite? Am I poor and going to stay poor? Was I born into the world of slavery or was I born into a world of wealth? He had to make a choice. He could have chosen either. Now, many people cannot, but young people, about the time they get into 7th, 8th, 9th grade, begin to realize that they have to make a choice because they see graduation coming around the corner and they see freedom. 18 or 19, they say, okay, who do I really want to identify with? Do I want to identify with this crowd or that crowd? Do I like this world or do I want that world? Do I enjoy these restrictions and spiritual freedom or that freedom and spiritual restrictions? Do I want to be associated with that crowd or do I want to be associated with slaves, the despised, the hated, the poor, the broken, the exile, the stranger? And here's where you can see people making, young people making a choice, because when you dress like a Christian, you're immediately identified in this world. So young people that don't want to be identified as a Christian, they already begin choosing their crowd. I want to be identified like them, not like this. They start changing their speech. And here's Moses, and he had to make a choice. Now, when you're in the palace, here's what some people are doing. They're giving up their identification with God's people in order to obtain, but Moses had already obtained. It wasn't that he was seeking wealth or power or position. He had it and would have to sacrifice it to be associated. Now, these young people, they don't have wealth or wisdom, and many will never gain that. But they're saying, I'm going to already sacrifice all the best that God has invested in me to get that. You're not going to survive your youth. You're not going to get through what you're going through unless you understand God has a purpose for your life. And as soon as you identify yourself as a child of God, you've identified your purpose. Now, if you identify yourself with the world, then you have no purpose. You've got to identify with Him as your Father, and that makes these people your spiritual brethren. And here's a problem with identifying with these people. They're a flawed crowd. Take a look at Moses when he goes out there and he sees his brethren living in slavery, and he's thinking, these people are complainers, and these people are hurting, and these people are crying out. And yes, his heart broke for them, but at the same point, he thought, do I really want to walk away from the palace and join this crowd? Be careful, because Satan will get your eyes on all the flaws and defects and sometimes the hypocrisy and sometimes the shortcomings and the failings and say, do you really want to identify with him? With her? You understand, they're not really a good Christian anyways. In life, young people, if you're going to get through what you're going through in your youth, and how many of you thought that possibly this battle would be over at 19 or 20? And it only gets more difficult. How many realize that this battle is more difficult at 30 than it was at 19? And it may be even more difficult at 40 if you're sitting there in a company and now this company is telling you, we have a position for you, but it's going to demand a lot of Sundays. Okay. Now the bonuses, you are talking about $50,000 to $20,000 bonuses you're going to be leaving on the table. Paid expenses. You'll be able to travel. We can double your salary. Six figures? That's the bottom line. You're going way above that. You know, the first time a young man hears six figures and a contract he can sign and a position he can hold and have, the influence of that is much greater than cigarettes or alcohol or drugs. Most of these young people are not going to fall prey to that. But although they made a decision, they understood that there was a purpose in life. As soon as they start, the problem at 18, 19, 20, 21, you start to understand that that purpose comes with sacrifice, and that purpose comes with suffering, and then some young people begin to change their mind. That purpose comes with delay. And here's what the world does. The world says, forget the delay. You can have this right now. You can have the best in life. You can have the most beautiful in life. You don't want to wait until you're 45 or 50 or until you're in heaven to enjoy a blessing. Look what it says. Go with me to verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of reward. Number two, young people, you're going to have to consider and compare the rewards.
Yes,
you really do. You got to sit down and say, okay, I need to look at both worlds and what they have to offer. Parents, you need to walk them through this. I guarantee you, Amram and Jochebed did. Can you imagine the fear and trepidation in Jochebed's heart? The mother, she looked at her boy and said, when he comes to my house, he has nothing. And then he goes back to the palace, his servants, a beautiful room, an amazing education. He can make any demand that he wants and it'll be met. And then he comes to my house. Poverty and shame and pain and slavery. Is he really going to choose this life over that life? But you got to show him the reward and say, young people, in life, there is money to be made. There are a lot of young, sharp people in our high school. They could make some money. They went to the right school, invested in a decent education. There are some of our young people at age 30. They could be making six digit. They could have a very promising future, and they're going to have to make a decision. Okay, am I going to put myself in that situation in life in the pursuit of money, or am I going to leave money on the table and pursue the will of God? And parents, those treasures and those pleasures, here's what we want to do. We want to act like they don't exist. How many realize that Egypt is full of treasures and pleasures that do exist? They're tangible. They're touchable. They're easily seen. Don't go into denial. Don't tell these young people, no, that's a figment of your imagination. There's no pleasure in the world. There is pleasure. There is treasure to be had in the world. There is immediate gratification. But if you're teaching that child, you have a purpose for your life, and God wants to use you to save lives. And here's what you're going to get. Okay, you could have the palace, and you could have prominence, and you could have an amazing future, and you could be called the son of Pharaoh. You could have as much money as you want. You can lead his armies, or you can come with us and suffer. But in doing that, God wants to use you to save this people and save this Amen. Nation. Getting the average Christian to put his mind on eternity.
Yes.
And to see those things that are invisible. And that's what we see in this chapter. You've got to sit down and help your young people say, this purpose is eternal. And this is about God. And this is about heaven. And it's not about life and the rewards of this life. Because naturally, the things of this life are very appealing. Listen, if you've got money in your pocket and you can eat out wherever you want to, and you can drive the vehicle that you want to, and you don't have to buy a Ford and a Chevy for the rest of your life. What teenager doesn't go out there and see a BMW or a Mercedes and say, boy, I hope one of these days I can own one of those. You can own one right now. There's a 1973 Mercedes down the block from my house that's for sale, $1,500, and you can have it. You can be the proud owner. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a 2015 black leather interior. Well, if you wait 30 years, you can buy that 2015.
Yeah.
On the income that you're going to be making as a born-again child of God, focused on your family, determined to invest in your marriage, not allowing this world to treat you as a slave, and saying, God's going to be first, I'm going to invest in missions, I'm going to tithe. And sometimes we take this philosophy that will eventually hurt our children and tell them, you know what, if you tithe, yes, if you tithe, God will meet your needs and God will bless you. But that does not mean that your utility bill is going to be lower,
right.
Your car is going to be nicer,
right.
That the deal you get on your house is going to be sweeter. Yeah. We have a missions conference coming up, and I've watched people jump into missions conferences and say, oh boy, if I give to missions, and even some people mistreat this subject in their preaching, and if I give to missions, oh, the blessings of God are going to be poured out all over me. If you give to missions, you're going to have less money to spend in your pocket. You're going to drive an older car. You're going to shop on Craigslist instead of Ashley's Furniture. You're going to have to buy at CarMax instead of the dealership. There is sacrifice of all, but here's the treasure and the pleasure of this. You are involved in something much bigger and something of eternal value, which is the salvation of souls. And somehow the message got through. Because it's one thing to never have it and want it. It's another thing to know it and walk away. It's one thing for Moses to walk out of that palace and say, I refuse to be called your son, your grandson. I don't need this palace. I don't need the money. I don't need the position. I don't want the prestige. I am choosing people that are living as slaves. I'd rather be a pastor of sheep, a shepherd, than a Pharaoh over Egypt. We read those things, but we truly don't understand the sacrifice. But that was a mother that instilled in Moses, you have a purpose that is much greater than being a Pharaoh.
Amen.
And if we don't instill in our young people, you have a purpose that is much greater than being a CEO, that is much greater than being a manager, that is much greater. And be careful, because Christians, instead of instilling faith, often parents are attacking the faith. Because when that child says, I want to be a preacher, dad says, no, remember, you want to be a fireman. I would rather you save a physical life than a soul from hell. How many children have I seen with a fire for God and a passion for doing something for God and a calling on their life, but there was mom or dad to squelch that and say, no, that's really not what you want. And haven't you seen what happens to preachers? They end up living in a trailer. You want to live in a trailer park for the rest of your life, son? What is wrong with you? Have you seen the car they drive? No, no. If you want a future, you've got to think about your talents and develop those talents and your ability to make money and your skills. And on the side, you can serve God. And somewhere in there, you can make time for the things of God. But right now, you got to focus, and your focus got to be on making money. Jochebed had somewhere put in the heart of Moses something so deep and a conviction so firm that he could walk away. You can have that, but you're going to have it without God. You can have all that. You can achieve all that. You can get it all. But you're not going to have God's blessing. You're not be fulfilling God's purpose. And I'm not trying to demean anybody in this building for what you've obtained. But at the end of your life, there's nothing there. Young people, you need to fast forward to the last days of your life when you're getting ready to step off this planet and you realize all I worked for is earthly and now I get to stand before God. I get to walk into eternity. And I have something earthly or I have something heavenly. I have something temporal or I have something eternal. And all my life revolved around clutter and things and possessions and earthly gain and retirement. But in the end, I have nothing eternal. Because there is sacrifice involved and there is suffering. And here's what the average parent wants for his child. Those things that I suffered, I don't want you to suffer. Those things made you stronger. They made you better. They developed your character. Now we're developing a characterless society because parents are protecting their children from the very things that will develop integrity and character. But I had to suffer and I had to tape my shoes up and we had to eat beans and cornbread. And look at the harm it did you at 250 pounds. Those new shoes didn't help you run any faster. That new house didn't put any bigger smile on your face. Matter of fact, it took the smile off your face because of all that you have to do to keep it up. But we're sitting there trying to convince our kids the life that I'm living while putting God off to the side is the same life you need to live. And he was being pulled by two different sets of parents, one towards a palace and one towards slavery. And mom said, you have a higher calling and you have a higher purpose and you have already identified your father is God. Your people are his people. That means you're going to have to separate yourself from some in order to obtain and fulfill your purpose in life. He said, I refuse to call myself your grandson, and I refuse to call you my grandfather. Look at a Pharaoh and say those words. That's some backbone. But here's really where I want you to focus this morning. Look what it says in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach. Now, young people, those of you that are under 40, how many of you in this auditorium this morning are under 40? Would you raise your hand? I'm trying to help you get through what you're going through. I want you to survive your youth. I want you to survive your 20s. I want you to survive your 30s. And at 40, I want you to be focused on the will of God and the purpose of God for your life. And most get sidetracked in a Christian church, in a Christian home, in a Christian school, in a Christian environment. The average young person by 40 is doing his own will 100%. Right. Soul winning is ignored. God's will has been forgotten. Money is top priority. So I'm only talking to the under 40 crowd right now. To get through what you're going through, you've got to determine what you're going to esteem in life. By nature, here's what we esteem. Nice clothes. Have you ever thought about the foolishness of our estimation? A nice watch. We esteem a nice tie. Nice shoes. We esteem a nice neighborhood. We esteem a nice vehicle with nice leather seats. We esteem a nice position in a company. But here's what we really esteem. In high school, we call it peer pressure, but it's a problem with esteem because innate within us, we esteem applause and praise and respect and love and adoration. That's what is usually esteemed by our youth. So I want to be liked. That's what I esteem. I want to be loved. That's what I esteem. I want this group to respect me, and that's what I esteem. And Moses had esteem. And his mom said, your people are reproached. Your Christ is reproached. Your God is reproached. And if you're going to survive this, Moses, you must esteem reproach. You know what a Christian school student will do in this environment? He'll come to church dressed as a Christian, but when he goes to the mall because he esteems fitting in with people he doesn't even know. With a crowd that he'll never even eat with. With a people that he'll see once in his lifetime. With other young people that will never, ever spend 5 minutes together, but I esteem what they possibly might think of me. So young people, if you're going to get through what you're going through, you're going to have to tweak what you esteem.
That's good.
I don't esteem their applause. I don't esteem their praise. I don't esteem their pat on the back. I don't esteem their love highly. I don't esteem fitting in with them. Moses said, to be reproached with Christ by them, that's what I love. Moses, you fool! Yes, sir. You idiot, you would give this up? Absolutely. He was esteeming the reproach that came with Christ and the salvation of his people. This is why God would use him. He didn't deal with or in... Hold on for a second. We misread the context and think he endured the reproach. No. He esteemed the reproach. He embraced the disgrace. And parents, if we're going to get our children through 2016 and beyond on track, living for God, rising above this world, we're going to have to get them to the same place that Jochebed got Moses and said, you esteem that reproach. But mama, now that I'm a teenager, it just feels more awkward. And mama, I can't go to the school and be respected by the rest if I dress like a Jew and if I talk like a Jew and if I identify with the Jews. You've got to make a decision, son. And instead of esteeming their respect and applause and love and praise, why don't you esteem the reproach that they give you? Because those people are God haters. So you ought to be lifted up in pride when they hate you and say, just as they hate your God, naturally they're going to hate you. You should not provoke that, but you should esteem that. Our young people that cower in fear by a difference, a noticeable difference. You know, we read earlier, and we're not going to go back because you already remember it. Most of you are very familiar with this text. It says, he chose the affliction of righteousness. You know what I've noticed, and you notice it too? If you go back 30 years ago to the largest churches in this nation, the largest Sunday schools in this nation, they were averaging 4,000 to 5,000, the largest churches. Now the largest churches in our nation, we have many of them right here in Texas. You go to Lakewood, this Sunday they have 40,000 meeting in that stadium. Several services. You go to the Potter's House. That auditorium will seat 8,000. They'll fill it up 3 or 4 times today with no empty seat in the auditorium. You can go to San Antonio, Fort Worth, or any other major city in this nation and find churches that are bursting at the seams. And if you walk in and preach one message on holiness, you will empty that crowd in a single sermon.
Right.
Because you can preach anything in that book as long as you don't. You can preach salvation by faith. eternal security. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The witness of Paul, the boldness of the disciples, and people will come. But you preach one message on living a holy life patterned after the holiness of God. And you're going to suffer affliction. And he chose to suffer the affliction of righteousness, saying, I esteem the reproach that comes with that. Young people, here's what we want to see you doing. Living for God and fulfilling your purpose at 35 and 40 and 45 and 50. Because our young people are fired up and they have a youth director. This weekend they went out and they honored our policemen and they took them gifts and they witnessed and they sang for them. And then on Saturday they were here knocking on doors. And then at 12:30 they were cleaning the building. Wednesday night they were back out in the heat, sweating as they went, walking with a pocket full of tracks. But if you compare that group that was working from Wednesday through Saturday night, the median age was 17 years old. You know why? Because getting through what you're going through means you've got to maintain your focus on your purpose. And most, by the time they're 40, have not survived. Good. Now it's money, money. It's not, well, Pastor, I'm not seeking riches. I'm not talking about that. You're just consumed by money. Right. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Moses sacrificed the prime of his life. God took his prime years. So in his youth, he was walking out at the palace. But hold on for a second. In his prime years, which were 40 to 80, he sat in a desert wilderness in preparation for the next step, barely making enough change to put milk in the fridge and meat on the table. God's will took him from countless zeros on his check to one big fat zero. And I guarantee you there were people that when they heard back Moses and where he was at and what he was doing, they laughed until the belly muscles hurt and they said, the grandson of Pharaoh is a shepherd in Midian? What an idiot. How did he ever walk away from that? Oh, now history looks at him as the greatest military leader of any generation. The meekest man that ever lived. The patriarch of the Jews. The giver of the law, but not during his prime. But he said, I'm going to get through what I'm going through, and here's how I'm going to do it. I understand, my mom told me, God has a purpose for me, and I will never forget that. And here's what I'll do. I will esteem the reproach. And God said, yeah, I can use that guy.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.